Feeling, I thought you were filling in for Steve, but you're filling in for Steve. So I mistook. I was mistaken. So.
Okay, welcome to the September 25th, 2024 School Board, San Juan School District Board of Directors regular monthly meeting. We do have a quorum. Everybody's here. So I call this meeting to order at 5 o'clock. Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
To
to
the
the
flag
flag
of
of
the
the
United
United
States
States
of
of
America
America
and
and
to
to
the
the
Republic
Republic
for
for
which
which
it
it
stands,
stands,
one
one
nation,
nation,
under
under
God,
God,
indivisible,
indivisible,
with
with
liberty
liberty
and
and
justice
justice
for
for
all.
all. Thank you. First order of business is to approve the agenda. Any questions or change requests? Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I so move.
John moved.
I'll second.
Brian seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Aye. Thank you. Section 1.04, swearing in of new board director, position 1, Melanie Hagg.
Okay, we are there. Melanie, welcome to the board, but we're going to make it official. Does she have to stand up or can she just
Stand up.
I think you need to stand up. Stand up. And then all you have to do is repeat after me, and then we will be official.
Okay.
Okay, so I, Melanie Hess,
I'm Melanie Hess.
do solemnly swear or affirm
Do solemnly swear or affirm
that I will support the Constitution of the United States
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
and the Constitution of the State of Washington,
Constitution of the State of Washington,
and will faithfully discharge, excuse me, and will faithfully discharge
and will faithfully discharge
the duties of the office
the duties of the office
of the San Juan Island School District number 149,
of the San Juan Island School District number 149,
District Position 1,
District Position 1,
according to the best of my ability.
according to the best of my ability.
Well, welcome to the school board. Thank you for taking
Okay, hey, public comment. I understand we have public comment. So before we start, I'll reiterate our longstanding public comment rules. I think they're on the website, aren't they, Diana? But comments may pertain to items on or off the agenda but may not be critical if pertaining to the performance of an employee. Please refer those comments directly to the superintendent per district policy. Comments will be 2 minutes and may be limited at discretion of the board. Usually we let everybody go three, unless there's too many of them, but that's rarely happened. Comments will be heard, but no response will be made at this time. Topics raised in public comment are not up for discussion. This meeting is not an open public forum, which means a place, meeting, or medium where ideas and views on a particular issue can be exchanged. This is a meeting for the board of directors to meet in public to discuss school district business in public, but amongst the board members. Thank you. So, Mr. Cook.
Oh, yeah, I'm Phil Cook. I'm the Secretary Treasurer of the Monk Initiative 14, which is a 501c3 registered right here in the Monk Friday Harbor. Global initiatives sound grandiose, but it's actually true. Members of British Parliament, Australians, Canadians, a wide swath of published authors, peer-reviewed scholarly article writers, I don't know that Motley Crue. And psychologists and sociologists, and of course, educators. What we do is analyze the effects of policies and make recommendations for what can improve the status of boards, particularly in education, but in wealth. So, what I want to do is give you all a copy of our state report and the status of boards and men. The comprehensive overview of subject matter. Talking excellent for the staff.
Okay.
So you can also view our report online, of course, by going to our website and simply looking up state reports. Scroll down a little bit, and you'll see the Washington State report. So you'll notice that a particular section deals with education. So if you don't read anything else, read that one. Okay, and this report, by the way, is down the plane, is been used as the basis for a legislative people who are watching the state legislature. And of course, as a journalist who covers state legislators, I know for certain that they want to say for certain that there is a certain. But we have high hopes coming this next session. Looks pretty good. There are some 14 members of state legislature, Republicans, Democrats, male, female, equally divided. Pull that one apart. Who are Republican support of the state division for boys and men? Will that impact this district? Not for years. Holding guns set up, or how to force, and so on and so forth. And probably make recommendations in terms of education. But that's down the pipe today. What we do is not only analyze the effects and status of boys and men throughout many states, but particularly in Washington, because it's organization, the Washington Division of Boys and Men, which now has some, let's say, 35 different unions, organizations, and so on, in support of the Commission for Boys and Men, the latest being in Seattle, Medical Society. So that's what we do. And hopefully we'll talk to staff and keep working with the board about our efforts and how you might implement some programs that will improve attendance, improve education outcomes, and so on for boys and men. We don't support things that sound good. Prove it to us. Oh yeah, you can improve the attendance. You can reduce the dropout rate. Oh yeah, okay, prove it. And we analyze programs that actually work in that regard and others, as well as analyzing, if you want to, an in-service report very similar to this one regarding your particular issue. So the main thing we do, we'd love to talk to staff about that, to board member, maybe didn't have a meeting, they have to do that. And it's an interesting work that we do. And we think we can be helpful to you.
Thank you. Fred, you're up. Superintendent's report.
Well, this would be interesting data to look at. A couple things I want to talk about are really all around capital projects. I know this is going to be exciting news. They got our priority back from Apollo Solutions today. So where we fall on the list on the priority of getting funded in some way, shape, or form from the state. And we came in at 107. We're not last. There were 113 entries. So in talking to Apollo Solutions today, they're not, of course, we're on the list at least. That's how you start. It might be another superintendent before we actually get to that point, but who knows? There's a lot of factors that could, change that. Tori, who used that, I think, on Zoom was pretty positive. We're still going to keep looking for different avenues, and we're going to stay on this year to year, but our first on the list for this year, we're at 107. So that's not even a waiting list. It's not a go for this first round. So we'll see what happens next year. And they're going to use the same thing, and then it'll eventually be that planning grant that gives us an investment grade audit.
So in about 90 years, we'll be up to that.
Well, she said, depending on what happens with the poverty and, there's all those factors that come into play, that it may be 10 years. But there's things change so fast, it can bump you up. And then if the state turns around and says, we're going to put more money into the system for capital, which you never know, that can move you up a list quicker too. So, but you have to be on the list. So at least we're there out of the, how many districts are in the state? I don't know.
295.
So, 113 actually put in application for this, but we didn't fare well on the priority status right now. So, and all I can do is smile about it because it's all you can do. The report is the report, and we go on from there. I do want to make a comment, make sure we say it publicly about the, we next Monday or Tuesday, I think it is. Yeah, the company comes in to do the first look at the exterior envelope, the siding. And we just want to make sure we remember that we did pass a levy that community supported us and very thankful in February. We don't see any of that revenue till next April. So to get that money and then turn around and try to fix it, that's you can't do it. It just doesn't come in that way. It's all about cash flow. And so we're in the planning stage, but the first plan is to determine exactly what it is we need. And that's what the company is starting to work on Tuesday. That will lead to actually the bid documents, hopefully by the 1st of January, so that the work can be done next summer. Unless the bid comes in so much higher, we have to hold on a little bit to get more cash in. It is a scary thing that we're looking at, but it has to be done. It really does. Yeah, I think other than that, I've been pretty excited to hear all the principals talk about how it's been such a great start to the year, and it has been. We are, as far as Steward is concerned, we've spent a lot of time going out, and we're still going out because it's not complete yet. We have opened up a building that has not been opened in 10 years, and so there's a constant, we start something and oh, we just found out a new issue we need to fix. And so more is going to be done on Wednesday of next week, actually Friday. We have a group going out, and then we have another group going out on Wednesday. But other than that, it's been a pretty good start, and I think all the principals would tell you that. It's just a good feel in the schools, and that's about all I have to say. Jose's gonna talk a little bit about the numbers and the enrollment, and maybe we'll discuss a little bit more there and what we think is going to happen before the start of a school year. It's been good. It's been really good. I'm very happy to see the way it started. So.
Thank you.
And now,
Now we have our new ASB rep, Mia, who's going to tell us about everything going on at the high school.
Oh, yeah. So like Mr. Wood said, it's been like a really great start just to the school year, and it's still like early days. So I feel like a lot of the freshmen, especially, are just getting used to like the flow of high school. But we have had our school orientation back in August, and this year I wasn't at it, but I've been at it the last 2 years before because I'm a senior, if you don't know. And the orientation is just always like such a great opportunity, not only for the freshmen, but also for new students who are coming into our school district just to feel out the high school. We have like, I think the year I was there, we had like 15 upperclassmen come, and we assigned each of them to a group of new kids, and we just walked around the school and showed them the classrooms, the cafeteria. And I was able to, at the time I was vice president of ASB, so I was able to just share like my tips and tricks of high school, and that it just felt good knowing that like we're able and we have the opportunity to give new students advice. And then last week on Wednesday, we had our club fair, which is also super great, especially for freshmen. It was during lunch, and if you don't know, we have so many clubs at our high school. We have even clubs that I didn't know we had, like we have like Eco Club, Film Club, I had never heard of, and I'm a senior, and I didn't know we had that, so I was able to sign up, which was super cool. And then we have like Key Club, ASB, and yeah, we just have a lot of super great clubs. So we were able to have one to two representatives sit at a little booth and just have freshmen, sophomores, juniors just were able to come sign up for the club. And yeah, it was super cool. I'm the president of our Key Club at the school, which if you don't know what Key Club is, it's a part of our Kiwanis, like the Washington State Kiwanis organization. And I have never had so many freshmen sign up. I think we had like 29 total. And so it was super awesome because last year in Key Club, we had like six kids total. So it just is really great to see like how much opportunity our school is getting in this year. So that's super awesome. And then in the future, next, or I believe October 8th, we have our College Fair Day, which if you don't know what that is, it's where like one representative from colleges around Washington State come, and we get each student at the high school gets to sit and listen to a presentation about the college. And that has always been like one of my favorite days. Like I was always one of the kids that would take notes to the presentation because I really got to learn a lot about even like financial stuff about school. And they really tell you like tips and tricks and like what the school is looking for, especially like hard schools like UW that you know like it's going to be tricky to apply to and get into. They always gave you like just tricks that you could hold on to until you get to your senior year when you're applying. So that is definitely something that I'm looking forward to going to. And then we also just have like the normal stuff, like homecoming is October 11th. So if any of you guys are free on Friday at 3:30, we're gonna have our homecoming parade, which is always the best because you get to see like you just kind of get to see like the personalities of each of the classes because we get to pick a theme and then make a float. So that's super cool because you get to see like all the new freshmen and then also all the seniors because sometimes it's easy to forget how like fast time goes by. So it might be your last time seeing them. So that's like well. And then yeah, we just have like sports. Senior night for volleyball, I believe, is October 23rd. So you guys are free, come watch. I just took my volleyball pictures, so I'm still in uniform. But yeah, so there's a lot of good stuff going on, and I'm really looking forward to being here. Thank you.
Thank you. We're happy to
Should
have you.
they do you want to buy the big chaperone just a homecoming dance?
Oh yeah, I
Do
appreciate it. You guys wanted to be chaperones.
Look at
I mean,
the board.
too bad you're all breaks. I don't know. She would be out. Yeah.
Okay, now we're up for the review of 23-24 school improvement plans final with SIPs.
All right, we talked to Barb a little bit last week. We planned on this. We kind of asked that we go ahead and just spend a couple minutes do a quick review, and then if you have questions, we'll go on to that. So I'll start with Griffin Bay and give you a little example of what I mean. And do you have that up? Can you display that? I mean, it'll be a quick display, but that's okay. The one thing about Griffin Bay, again, these are a review. It's not like the actual SIP plans that we have formulated that you'll get next month, with the exception of two of them that Holly and I already had to do our first ones in June because of the grant that we're a part of. But I'll just say quickly with Griffin Bay, it's not, you don't get the same kind of data as you'll get in the other schools because we don't have the state testing, state mandated testing. We're unable to do the MAP testing. Because we have kids at Griffin Bay coming in from remote, or they're coming in part of the time, or they're coming in full time. It's a real flexible schedule. But we did put emphasis on it was one goal, but it had three parts to it, with the first part being we wanted to see get our kids to be on track. Because a lot of times when a kid enters in Griffin Bay and they might be a sophomore, they're not on track to graduate in a timely manner. So our goal with our flexible schedule is to let them move faster than a normal semester rate that you have in a traditional school. And so we were always trying to get that to 100%. Our goal was to get to 100%. But really what we did is we got in February, I reported at midterm review that we got to 83%. And then we did a little bit deeper dive on this report. And what we realized is this: if there are two numbers that are important. We ended in June with 72% actually on track to graduate. And then we realized if you apply the waivers that the state allows you each year, and that has changed over the year, that jumps to 94%. So the truth is, the 83% in February we realized included the waivers. So there is still an increase, but we want to get there without the waivers. We want the full 24 credits. And so, but we did see improvement, but that is also remains on our set for the next little bit because of that. The second one, if you move up, go ahead and go to the next page and you see it real quick. I'll just say our goal here was we have three types of students. You have hybrid, site-based, and remote. And in the year prior, the site-based students are the ones that achieved at a lower rate. We based that achievement on our progress reports and classroom-based assessments. The proficiency level at site-based were at 69%. We were able to recognize that they moved to 84% by June of 2024. The interesting thing is it switched. Now we, instead of our site-based, our hybrid students dropped to 68% where they were in the 80s before. And there are a variety of reasons for that, most of it because they're new. They're moving over from the high school or they're just new to it. But I'm not going to go into all the reasons, but we switched that goal around. Now we're working through what to do with our hybrid students, and site-based made such improvements. And then the last thing I want to quickly say is that we've roll up again, and I'll finish, is again, is attendance. We directly, there's no doubt in any school, attendance is what makes the difference. When they're there, they just do better. I don't care what anybody says, attendance is key. And so we have put emphasis on that, and Griffin Bay, as has all the other schools. What is interesting in June, or excuse me, in February, I reported we had a 93% attendance rate, but it was really for that month. It actually was for January and February. And we realized what we saw, why that happened is, I don't want to say we bribed them, but we kind of bribed them. We started a streak contest, how many could get to a certain amount, and then they'd win a prize at the end without missing a day. And they actually competed against each other for that prize, and we shot up to 93%. But that ended at the end of February. And as you can see here in June of 2024, in the very last column, we were at 84%. Now, there's a lot of other reasons besides not having that streak contest, but our goal is to get that at 95% on a consistent basis. And you see, we track that clear back to September 2021 and how it varies.
Is this hybrid and
That's all of them.
all
That's
everybody?
all of them in that one. Yep.
And did we ever disaggregate it?
We have, but it's hard to decide because the report has a weird attendance
Yeah.
schedule, so it's hard to disaggregate it. And then so, but we have more so between the site and the remote, our site and the hybrid,
Okay.
but I just didn't put that in there.
Okay.
We're trying to get a full picture here.
Okay. Thank you.
So I'll just end with this. A lot of what we have is driving what you saw in June, this data. We feel good about some of the growth, but we saw some of the places that maybe we need to change our approach, even in attendance. We've been talking about that in our meetings at the beginning of the year. How are we going to, we can't just do, they'll get tired of the street contests, but we've got to figure out how to incentivize them in some way, shape, or form. So that's
That
really good for me.
too.
They want even more. I'm going to say that. Any questions? If not, we'll just move right over to the high school.
Thanks. All right. Well, I think you have had a chance to look at what we provided with the high school. Pretty basic data about the goals that we set, and where we got on them. If you remember, our staff has been really dedicated to keeping our goals attached to the state exam, because we just noticed somebody actually yesterday told me that last year's seniors were the last ones to have had to be remote during high school. So this year's seniors have never been remote in high school, I don't think. Anyway, we wanted to keep that measure consistent and be able to compare to pre and post-COVID. And so thankfully, last year, I think I was hearing a report that in all areas we had met or nearly met our pre-COVID achievement scores. And then you can see on our report here, that we had improvements in all areas last year. And our teachers worked so hard. And so it's really nice to see that we had improvements in all the areas. And then if you note, the comparison with the state is pretty significant. So we're pretty proud that the students at Friday Harbor High School, they're achieving, and you might say, like, oh, only 55% of our 10th graders meet proficiency standards in math. But across the country, it's way down. And you can see in the state, they're at about 30% of 10th graders meeting proficiency in math. So we're well beyond what the state average is and all of that. And so we're very proud of that. And then if you scroll down in our social emotional goal setting, what we use is based on the student climate survey. And our staff noted a few of the areas that they wanted to kind of chip away at last year. And so everything improved. I think if you look at the other data sheet, Diana, it says that we only improved by a teensy tiny bit, but when you look at that other data sheet, you can see that
for belonging in a group of high school. It's a 4-point scale, and we're already at a 3.25, or feeling stressed about grades. We're at 3.2, doing well in school. So we're on a 4-point scale. We're already pretty high in most of them. So we did see improvements, and they feel minuscule. But we improved. The only one that didn't improve was that feeling safe at school, which I feel like that had to do with the timing of the survey, because it happened right around the same time as a pretty serious incident between two students, well, two against one. But yeah, it was unfortunate that that was the same week that we did the climate survey. So anyway, that's where we're at on that. I mean, you're still very high on the scoring on kids feeling safe at school. But anyway, that's my very brief report out about how starting out in high school is great. You have any questions?
Thank you for the one-page summary.
Yes, thank you. In light of his presentation, can we split this out, boys and girls, at some point?
Yeah, if you, Diana, look at the other, not the summary report, but the other one. Are you asking about the climate data? That one probably can also, but this is all disaggregated by basically all the categories. What we find is that when we start to be like, so male, female, you can see on all of those, math, ELA, and science. Our males are outperforming females in math. Our females are outperforming males in English, and our females are actually outperforming males in science. They're close, but also that's historically the trend, I would say. The other thing I was going to mention about that, oh, this that same sheet, we set the big goals, but then we also kind of monitor subgroups, and we made the shift to not just monitoring our Latinx students, but just comparing our white and non-white students in our for our 504 students, special education students, and multilingual students. Because this is only 10th grade data, so our numbers are all be 10. So there's nothing really significant statistically that we can look at, but we've lumped them all together. So we're looking at white versus non-white, low income versus non-low income, and then the kids in that group of like special services versus not. And I don't think there are any surprises there. But anyway, so it is kind of all disaggregated like that.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
You ready to move on? Middle school? Middle school? So we are also really proud at the middle school of our growth report scores. We measured it in two ways. As you can see, we used our MAP internal data as well as our state reporting scores. And again, it's not so much the tests that we're concerned about, but the fact that it validated our work this year. While we have felt we've done the same work over the past 3 years, it's taken some time for it to show up, and we feel really good about the results showing up this year in that testing data. So some highlights of that were, of course, the MAP growth scores I mentioned there. The big ones, 90% of our sixth and eighth graders showed some type of growth in math. That means starting from point A to point B. It doesn't talk about grade level, but from where a student started, at some point during that year, we got them to grow some throughout the year. And that's special education kids, that's low income. I mean, all across all of our situations. So we felt really good about that. The one that was also next that was pretty important for us was last year we dove into our MAP reporting scores a little bit. And we found out the projected growth score is what we were really lacking in terms of our MAP data. So focused on that a little bit this year, and not so much how to take the test or what to take the test on, but we talked with our students through the implementation of our homeroom about what these things meant to them and us, and how to look at it. And I think as a result of that, we got a better representation of what our students know. I think it might have already always been there, but our students maybe weren't putting the effort in that we would have wanted them to. But because of the discussions we had, that increased things also. But the result of that was, as I showed there, 74% of our 8th grade students met their math determined growth score, which is the one that, you know, based on what they did in the fall, there's a projection on what they should get to by the end of the year. We were able to have that happen where that wasn't occurring before. We also then supported that growth with the results of the Smarter Balanced results. And all cohorts across all grade levels were above state averages again this year. 7th and 8th grade improved, met our goals for the most part that we set there. As I mentioned in the report, the one group that didn't increase. Increased a little bit, still increased and did better according to state averages, but in terms of their own score, went down a little bit. So we need to keep an eye on that. We feel the implementation of our homeroom, which is what we spent quite a bit of our time on last year, had a large part to do with that, just because that was a mechanism that we could use to have some of these discussions and help students understand and connect what they're doing in the classroom to what we're asking them to show us. And so we felt that was a really positive thing. And then on the back there, you can see our, or the second page, our culture situation. It's hard to measure that. We felt like, again, we met all of our action activities, except for we didn't do our second AVID survey, so we didn't get quite as many, or quite as much data on our climate results compared to AVID. But our climate scores that we have done across the board through the last 10 years held pretty steady. They're pretty much the same. We were able to grow some, but we were not able to get all of them to that 75% level that we wanted to. The one area that we really looked at through the culture was our attendance rate, which was pretty close to where we wanted to be. It dropped to 89% from 92 the year before. But out of that, we just met as our ILT team. We had our first meeting this past week, and we've got some really good ideas. One of them being a postcard kind of strategy that we use already to talk about students and academics. We're going to double down on that, use it for students that have been missing. We're going to send them a positive postcard, try to reaffirm that, you know, we noticed that you were gone, and try to give them some positive reinforcement for being in that school. We think that's going to help out. But that's what we got going on at the middle school. Any questions? Yes.
So the 5th to 6th grade cohort that you talked about, fourth were lower. What are we doing to transition the 5th grade students into middle school?
Well, it's interesting. So we meet at the end of each year. We talk, we discuss that. We worked on some vertical alignment at the beginning of this year. We think that was that's been part of it. What we think is happening though is it's just somewhat of the transition between going from a single classroom setting to some of what's changing at the 6th grade level. Because as I mentioned here, you notice by the time they leave us as 8th graders, it seems like they assimilated to that type of work and we were able to get them to grow. So it happened for the last 3 years that our 6th grade has come in and not tested very well. But you can see this year's last 8th graders, between the year of the, between their start of 6th graders to when they left, they were able to grow 30% on that Smarter Balanced thing. So it's somewhat about them learning the new system that they're being placed into.
Yes. Thanks, Brad.
Cool.
I think you're up, Holly.
Yeah. I'm actually going to stand because it's so funny sitting and talking. Welcome. I'm here too, right? I'm so excited about that. Okay, so we had two goals, and bringing up our first one. So our first goal is an ML goal. So for our multilingual learners, we found through our own assessments and through state assessments and scores that that is our group that it has the lowest proficiency rate. So not only for the grant, but for the needs of our school, we set that ML goal last year. And one of the things we always remember is that what's good for ML students is good for everybody. They're just good teaching strategies. So the things we put in place really did help our school as a whole. But when we look at these scores, I have a little bit more clarification on my notes here, that our goal was for multilingual learners to either meet grade level average or show a year's growth according to the math student achievement norms and our running records testing. So 24% of our ML students in grades first through fifth met grade level average on spring math test in May. So about a quarter of our students in first through fifth. So we had been focusing on a group that we started with in 2023, the kindergartners. So we had their information from spring in 2023, and then we looked at it again in spring of 2024. So that's why it's first through fifth. So we followed those cohorts through. And our kindergartners were brand new in spring of 2024. 21% of our ML students in that group met grade level average for spring math reading in 2024. And then 33% of our ML students met grade level on the running records reading assessment. The exciting part is the growth. So that one that Diana was showing before that has, this shows grade to grade the points on the test that would be a grade level growth. Mm-hmm. And the average growth at each grade level from first to fifth was above the mean here. And in both, so we have in every grade for math, and then in grades 3, 4, and 5, the scores were above the mean in reading and math. Super exciting when you really look into the scores, and I don't have all those details trying to keep it to a page or two, which I think I still went over. But some kids grew 20 or 30 points. So there were kids that grew 2 or 3 grade levels throughout that year. There are some that were kind of right about the mean. There were some that were below, but only 1 or 2 of our ML students in the whole school didn't make any or went down. So we still have a lot to work on, and we're keeping ML as a goal. We're no longer for the state in the place that we were a year ago, where we were in the expectation that we have a goal, but we can still have support, and we still see that it's a need. So we have it. That's what's driven our new ML goal that was shared earlier this year, and it's on the last page as well. Okay, our next goal, we did for our literacy goal, we did a writing goal. We've spent a lot of time working on reading and really become more aligned as a school, so we felt like it was a good opportunity to switch gears and focus on writing, so kind of getting realigned after COVID. Our goal was to, again, show a year's growth by one grade level or meet end-of-the-year standards. We, on our own on-demand writing assessment, which is something that is done at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year, so we get that baseline and then see after all the instruction throughout the year where they're at. They 69.5 of the students met grade level standard at the end of the year or showed a year's growth. And if we look at our SBA data, we really wanted to follow. So our third grade is very important, of course, and we can look at last year or the 22-23, and then that's what we started as our baseline for our goals. We wanted that cohort to grow 5% so that in fourth grade they would meet the goal of 54.1%, but they actually 58.9% of fourth grade students were at standard. So we met that goal, and that we were really excited about that. And then we also watched the fourth graders from 2022-2023, and our goal for them was also to grow 5 percentage points. So they didn't quite make that. That would have been 69.6%, but they got to 60%. And digging into why maybe they didn't make that growth that the other group did, kind of looked at a few things. We don't want to be making excuses, of course, but we did have 10 new students join that fifth grade class, which is a huge percentage of change for that group. We also had some inconsistency with instruction because some students' enrollment changed several times. They kind of came and went, and then we did have a teacher who was out ill for a big portion of the year. So there was still a lot to celebrate, but things that, you know, we can change, look ahead and change for the future. So coming up, we are going to again have our ML goal, and we are going to have a social emotional goal again next year. So we that's coming up in October. Questions?
Thank you. Okay. State assessment score report, is that you or is that?
Yep, I can do it really quick. Of course, we do have the Early Learning Center for Child Leadership to try to give us her goal for the year. She's not listening.
Oh. Yeah.
Don't you have a report for Early Learning Center? No. Anyway, can you put that up there really quick? I'm just going to make two quick comments on it. And some of them, you saw some of this, you know, cut and paste onto some of the reports. You know, and I know that every principal in here, I want to make sure we quantify. We are proud of what Friday Harbor is. It is a good school, and it's a good school because it has a nice culture. Kids feel welcome for the most part here. We're not perfect. We just have a good school, and kids feel comfortable coming here. And then we have great teachers, and because of that, students do well, and they usually do well when they leave here. That doesn't mean we want to stay where we are with our scores. We think that we have kids that can do well. I'm proud of what the middle school has done with AVID because it really teaches students how to be students, and I think it's setting some things up for success. But beyond just that, K-12, you have teachers that will look at these scores and be proud, and then we'll dig back in and say we can do even better. That's just a continuous improvement cycle, and it makes for a good system. The only two things I want to say about this is that when you look at it on your own is that, first of all, most grade levels at almost every subject in most of the grade levels, not all of them, you will see that we are better than the state. You know, proud, yes, but, you know, that also says we have an issue since COVID because the scores are lower everywhere, too. And the other thing, when you do take a look at this, you will see you have to look at the cohort. So like she was trying to say, if you want to look at last year's cohort, look at 22-23 with the third graders, and then go to the next one, look at the 23-24 fourth graders, and you'll see the ELA improvement. Can you go to the last page? Here's one last example I want to show you in high school that I thought really indicates the impact of COVID and what we've been doing since then. Because if you look at that, over there, it goes 2018-19 and then it jumps to 21-22 because there was really no test there. And you can see, for example, in math, how there was this drop. But remember, that was kind of a big year, wasn't it? They're not getting that face-to-face instruction. But from that point in both ELA and math, you see the curve going up. And it actually fought its way through COVID in ELA, just kept going up. And that says a lot about, again, staff and students and a community dedicated to quality education. And so I'm not going to spend any more time than that. Just when you do take a look at it on your own, I know you guys got it early, and so you do want to look at cohorts and take a little pride that your school is a pretty good school, because not everybody can report we're, you know, 20 or 15 points higher than the state in math. Do we want to be at 95% math? Yeah. I can make an argument why they're not, because I think it's, you know, a sophomore test for math on all subjects, and it actually has a couple of, in my opinion, Algebra 2 components in it, and then some of them haven't even taken that class yet. Unfair by design. But that's my personal opinion. The fact is we still want to prepare our kids to take these and do well. And because when they do well here, they step right into, like she said, University of Washington, or a better school, like over on the east side. And they do well. They do well. And so that's all I have on that.
Thank you. Consent agenda, standard monthly expenses, personnel changes, and board meetings. First, we'd like to accept with gratitude gifts from Purple and Gold to the high school athletic program for $1,700 for team meals at State last spring, and Public Schools Foundation to the district for $2,830 for materials and supplies, and the Community Foundation from the FAIR initiative, $4,200 for the early learning program, which was for mostly furniture and supplies. Okay. So could I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, please?
I'll make the motion to approve.
Brian moved.
Second.
CJ second. All in favor? Oh, any discussion first? All in favor?
Yeah. Yes.
Aye.
Unanimous. Okay, 4.02. Jose, you're up. Monthly budget and enrollment. I love the musical chairs.
Yes. I know.
All right, as was mentioned earlier, enrollment came in a little bit lower than we had planned for. And I think it was about five or so students that were on vacation with their family during the count days. So we should, we'll see those reflected in the October enrollment. So that will close the gap some. And there has been a flurry of activity this month. Primarily, I think, in the high school and in our ALE program, that we'll see how the dominoes fall. You know, there's been some full FTEs, some partial FTEs. There's still one or two in the wings. We got a couple days left still in this month to see if we can realize those enrollment gains in October and how close we will be to getting back to that budgeted FTE. You know, 2 months into the school year. Now we're legal. So next month we'll have a better picture, and it's not all doom and gloom with the 15 FTE drop. What is interesting, though, is if we look at the special education 1 month into the school year, and it always seems to grow as we go along, our K-21 students are 17.36% of our headcount for special education. And the reason why that is interesting, besides the fact that it's a big number, is if there's any movement on special education this legislative session, which, you know, we'll see what the priorities are, because last year 17% was, you know, a target goal, and we're above that 17% so far this year. And like I said, it seems like it always grows. And in the preliminary K-3 compliance, at this point, this is not official, but we're a bit under 17. For the compliance and maximizing our K-3 funding from the state.
Say 17.36 5.
Right, does not include 3 to 5. The numbers are special education numbers that are on the report have our 3 to 5 year olds because we serve them, and that is actually that's a caseload and a workload for our staff. But that 17.36 does not count those students.
So,
because that K-3 funding is separate, and that's based on each individual student that we have, the special ed student that we're serving, but the special ed funding that we get through apportionment for the rest is dependent on enrollment and that headcount. There's no limit on the 3-5. If we have 23 to 5 year olds, we'll get funding for 23 to 5 year olds. Any questions on enrollment? Okay. Any questions on the miscellaneous other funds page? And then I'll just move to the general fund. I keep pointing to that red number at the bottom. We keep closing the gap as we continue to finish it, closing out the school year and do some transfers for capital expenses and finish the last month of revenues from grant reimbursements. We'll see that go away and be in the positive, reflecting our enrollment gains that we had last year that we've talked about a bit. Most of the expenditures are paid year to date. We have one last batch of bills to pay. As I mentioned, we have, in addition to ongoing technology and that last grant reimbursement from the state, we'll also have the athletic program reimbursement from Island Rec coming in. Any questions on this page? And then until we finish out the month, I have the fourth page with our budget, our 4-year budget. And next month, after we get the expenditure numbers, you'll see the monthly year-to-date totals in between the first 2 years' budget. The things on this budget that we mentioned before, we have a large increase in state revenues. That's due to our transition to kindergarten program, our Stewart Island School, and our ECAP funding, which is state money that we get through the ECAP program. A note again from last month, we'll be seeing a bump in taxes. More so than we had predicted last year because of that enrollment gain. Taxes are always a year behind. So last school year's, which ended in June, enrollment is going to impact the taxes in 2025. So in the 24-25 school year, we'll see about one third, I think it's like a 40% of the 2025 taxes. And then the 25-26 school year, the second half of the year's taxes, we'll see the balance of the 2025 county tax year. So we'll be living off of that enrollment gain, half of this year and half in the next school year from a local property tax aspect. And the final bullet on there, those numbers that we see at the bottom, for the annual cuts, those are just arbitrary numbers to get to, a revenue neutral budget by the end of the fourth year. So what we actually cut, if we have to cut, or whatever revenue gains we might see in years 2, 3, and 4, will impact. What year in year in year two will impact years 3 and 4. So if we have a revenue gain of 50,000, that's that $20,000 cut plus another 30,000, basically for 2 years, which makes that second year number different. So the more that we can realize each year, whether it's through revenue gains or savings in our costs, it's going to have a 3-year domino effect, and it'll make years 3 and 4 smaller numbers. Any questions on what I just said? Okay. Any questions at all?
They're not replacing anything. They like 6700 was really big, and they took those pieces out and made separate policies.
Okay.
So that's kind of
It's too big.
yeah.
They have the through on Friday, so we worked very fast because I didn't want to sit there for
Harvard was very happy. There were no interesting events in Mazda this year for General Assembly, which was good. They did have one emergency resolution that came out at the very end that was specific for MSOC. And there's already a, I believe there's an amendment already applying to MSOC, so I'm curious why they just didn't modify the other one, but we'll find out later. Yeah. So, if you ever get a chance to listen to the exciting program, what to? The other thing I definitely want to talk about is the meeting that we had on Orcas Island a couple of weeks ago. We met with the other leaders from the other school districts in the islands, and the purpose of the meeting was to kind of gather consensus on what our common issues were and how we could help work together as a group to fix those issues. And what we left the meeting with, and I'm going to let the others speak here in a second. What we left the meeting with was we're focusing on two issues going forward. That's regionalization and special ed. There are other issues that were brought up. The feeling was things like MSOC, for example, is something that's going to be addressed at the state level. So for us to focus on it might cloud the issues a little bit more. So we decided to focus on just two issues. I'll let any other board members that are there if they want to discuss anything.
I want to say about General Assembly, it looked to me like there were a lot of new members from east of the mountains that are very, very concerned about local control and trying to get out from under the state's thumb. So that's something that we need to look at as a whole going forward and see how we should crash it down.
No, I think it was an unproductive one with that. Yeah. Able to talk to each other, but hopefully we actually came up with a plan to be more concise and authoritative.
They want to have love it. Getting together.
Well, not bring in the person that was brought last time to kind of evaluate ourselves and take a look at our own board operating principles. We have a new board member, and we kind of got used to acting the way we, you know, we work together more. Make sure Melanie felt extremely welcome and see how this works. And we gave her a new job. I think we got two board operating principles, kind of those things. And you know, I'm going to make sure you all will copy those. We're going to talk about those and just talk about how we work and what can we do better and make sure that we're functioning well to the schedule. And I intend on. I'm like my good friend Holly Wainer over there. Every time I've said we're free, has said, "Where's the spa?" There is no spa.
I got no spa.
But I am dedicated to keeping the meeting to at tops 2 hours, and then we can have dinner together. Afterwards, we'll have to figure out a time that works. I know some of us, congratulations, will be retired, and so it's okay. What we can do it at any time. Other people have jobs, and we have to figure out the time. This is my job, so I can go at any time. But I think Mark will reach out, we'll talk, and very, very good time.
I have a great
time, we might want to choose a different time.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be kind of good for her to be.
It's key on this one.
Okay, scratch October 16th off the calendars.
Will you be here in November? Yes, you will be in November. At least. Yeah, so I'll reach back out to you personally. I got some time to get the bar. But we do want to do this year. We didn't do it last year. We said we were. I think it's extremely important we do this year with Melanie coming on board. And I also want to make sure you point out that if you're going to watch the conference, we're going to go over early because one of the things is that we want to go through boot camp, and that's the board chair.
I get to go to boot camp.
Yeah. Well, the superintendents did suggest that I take the board chair, one of the board member along with. The new board member, because Sean Larkin's throwing at her, and then she can ask how we deal with it while we're sitting there. She gets the wonderful opportunity that starts at 30 morning at 8:30.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. She gets the wonderful opportunity to go right into an exciting open public meeting training that Mark and I will not go into.
I just did it with the county last week.
We've been through it. And then I think the rest of it begins Thursday afternoon for everyone else. So we'll have to talk about those trips and who's going when and how, but I think we are going to go Wednesday night there, but if we need to. I am going to make sure she chases you down. You don't respond.
Okay. Anything else?
And you did notice the board meeting right after that. November meeting was Tuesday, not Wednesday, just because that would be Thanksgiving. And if you're not Melanie that week, it's okay. We just have to make sure we have a quorum. Anybody else? It's not three. Okay.
Anybody got anything else? Meeting adjourned then at 6:04. Thank you, everyone.